The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And now, from the rooftop of the Rockies, it's Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn.
And here is the third hour, somehow, of Backbone Radio this evening, March 17th, 2024. What an honor to be with you this evening. And I have had a few folks mention that they can gather the family around on a Sunday evening and old school, old style, turn on the radio, gather around, and tune in a little bit. And it's getting serious to try to save this place, to try to save this country and restore our patriotism. We were talking last night about how weird it is in some ways to see a flag right now, or you feel maybe a little strange about hanging up the flag when you see how berserk the American political leadership has gone. And there's Joe Biden, you know, talking about the murderer of Laken Riley, the illegal alien from Venezuela. And Biden comes out and apologizes to the illegal alien, not to the family of Laken Riley, which is just one aspect of where the people on top have just gone off the edge. They are unhinged. It's getting significant in the fate of this country right now. And one thing I've talked a bit about, and by the way, I hope you've been having your corned beef and cabbage, all you Irish folks out there. Corned beef and cabbage, that's what it's all about. Maybe a shamrock or two. But we talk about how Trump has always had a superior sense of humor. The dude is just funny. And he always has been funny. He is funnier than the people that do comedy for a living. And for whatever reason, Trump's humor translates into the written form back before they banned him from Twitter, the tech tyrants. He had the funniest Twitter page ever. His tweets were hilarious. And then he gets up on stage before these huge crowds, these massive rallies, and his humor somehow gets the crowd in stitches from beginning to end of these rallies. And see, no one else can do that. No other politician can do that. Ronald Reagan had a good sense of humor, of course. He's legendary for that. But it wasn't quite in the same vein as Trump. And how do you get your humor to appeal in both the written form and the spoken form? That's not easy to do. Kind of like it's also hard to write a song that is funny. In the musical form, there's very few songs that are actually funny out there, but there are some that are and that can do that. Roger Miller, pretty good at writing funny songs, another one of the icons in the country music pantheon. But leave it to the left to come out there. And a Politico article this morning that says, you know, hey, Trump's humor is a really bad thing. Yeah, because that's what autocrats and that's what dictators use is humor. Here's the tweet from Politico. Quote, Trump often uses jokes and laughter to normalize his behavior, a trick used by autocrats in the past, writes Michael Cruz, K-R-U-S-E, end quote. And the subheader, quote, how Donald Trump uses humor to make the outrageous sound normal. Mm-hmm. And Elon Musk responded to this. He's on a roll today as Elon Musk, who says, quote, sure, everyone knows Stalin and Hitler could really bring the house down, and with the little facepalm image. But there's the left. They see that one of Trump's greatest strengths and one of, you wouldn't call it a secret to his mass appeal, is that he's got an absolutely brilliant sense of humor in the written form and in the spoken form at mass rallies and in just one-on-one conversation interviews. It is a remarkable set of skills in a politician, but Politico is out there to tell you that that is a totalitarian, autocratic, dictatorial tendency. Oh, and I've done a few shows lately where I've played some of the Trump humor clips. If you look at the podcasts over the last even like 6-8 weeks, I've done a few of those. And talking about Trump's skill as a comedian, but yet he doesn't do the, it's like not just like fluff comedy. It's comedy that makes a point, capturing the reality of where we are as a nation right now. And that's what they always say about good humor, that there's always that big kernel of truth right there in the center of it, which is what makes it funny. So we head over to the Politico piece. And, you know, the left, like I say, their sphincters are so tight. They are the people that do not want you laughing, that do not want you having a good time. They want you out there being miserable because, yeah, you know, we talked about Trump was saying that the migrants are, quote, not people. And you heard the full context of that speech, which, of course, is another attempt to pejoratize Donald Trump. But that is where the left is. They're the Puritans. The Puritans. Remember H.L. Mencken, his famous definition of what a Puritan is? A Puritan is the person who sits around being haunted by the feeling that someone, somewhere out there is having a good time. And that's my paraphrase out of memory of the H.L. Mencken quote. But who are the modern-day Puritans? It's the tight sphincter crowd on the left. They don't want you laughing. And if Trump goes up there and cracks a joke, their first response is to say, well, that's just like Stalin and that's just like Hitler. That's what autocrats do. Yeah. That's more proof that he's a dictator. Look, he cracked the joke. Oh, no, people are laughing. Oh, and that, oh, they hate that. They hate the crowds that go to all of his rallies. They hate the crowds. They hate the people that show up and laugh at his jokes. It really and truly drives them nuts. And by the way, here's Trump on the crowd size business.
Because he was commenting that we have the largest crowds in the history of politics. Nobody comes on. If Ronald Reagan came to a place called Dayton, Ohio, have you heard of it? If he came to Dayton, Ohio, honestly, J.D., if he had 300 or 400 people in a ballroom, that would be great. We get 25,000-30,000 people for every, a small rally is 20,000 people.
Yeah, and you see, and you always know that Trump's kind of, he's joking around with this stuff. And he's not trying to say, oh, I'm just greater than Ronald Reagan. He's just pointing this stuff out lightheartedly. And Ronald Reagan would laugh along with that if he was here. And one of the great all-time greats, Ronald Reagan. But so Michael Cruz at Politico, boy, it really bothers him, you know, that there's ripples of giggles going through the crowds at Donald Trump rallies. And he gives one example. Donald Trump says, quote, I've been indicted more times than Alphonse Capone, end quote. It's true. And then people laugh at it, you know, and then Trump says, quote, my parents are looking down. They're saying, I never thought this would happen to my son. He's been indicted, end quote. And the crowd laughs at that. And now, if you are a stick-up-your-you-know-what tight sphinctered leftist, you find that horrifying because you think that all these phony, scam, coordinated White House indictments run by Joe Biden, the actual dictator, to try to throw his political opponent in prison for the rest of his life. You know, you think that is the gospel because you are living in the matrix and you're believing all the propaganda. Your mind has been warped. And moreover, you would not have a job anywhere near the mainstream media if you did not play up every single one of these matrix memes that is not true and not real and designed to perpetuate ruling class dictatorial power. But I rest my case. But he goes to the it's the laughter. It's the laughter, says Michael Cruz. These signature set pieces are an utter engine, of course, of Trump's stubborn and undeniable appeal. Yes, you can't deny it. And then they talk about there's a phrase they use here called this comic authoritarian politics. It's comic authoritarianism. Give me a break, people.
On your radio, smartphone, or smart speaker, News Talk 710, KNUS.
Rolling with the Changes with REO Speedwagon, Backbone Radio, Blake behind the glass. We're just rocking through an evening here, having a good time doing it. And you know, those leftist Puritans out there, they don't want you having a good time. Do not crack a joke, says the mainstream media, because that's what authoritarians do. Ho ho! Yeah, that's what authoritarians do, is that they will, laugh a little, have a good time in life. That's what they don't like. They don't even want you existing, it seems like. The ruling class, the divide we have in this country. Yeah, the Politico article by Michael Cruz says that, you know, Trump's humor is comic authoritarian politics. Wow. And, they have some expert. The experts say that Stalin, Mussolini, and Hitler share a rhetorical style. That's because the humor is not a bug. It's a feature of demagoguery. Laughter is going to be a weapon because you laugh at something to diminish it and as preparation for casting it down or destroying it. Well, I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, these people have gone off their rockers. And this is where, again, you sit in a cubicle and you get propaganda inserted into your brain for years after years. And you absolutely become a warped, strange human being. I mean, and these are the people who are running the country right now. And that's why, you know, you see the stuff that happens and you think, how could like rational people be doing these things and mismanaging everything, foreign policy and domestic policy? And that's the kind of brains that are running the show right now. And the game is on to try to get enough people to wake up and get around this, right? To be able to connect with the reality in front of you and see reality as it is unfolding in this country. You know, as Robert Benchley, who is a comedian, humor writer, you saw him in Hollywood, and one of my favorite comic writers ever, good friend of Dorothy Parker, he wrote this one little essay once about how, you know, he's the kind of guy that's so oblivious to stuff, he could be walking down the street and a meteor could land right in front of him, and there could be a huge explosion, it could knock out a building, and there could be sirens and mayhem, and he probably wouldn't notice it. He'd just kind of keep on walking down the street to his office. And of course, he's being funny saying that. It's hilarious the way Benchley writes that. But guess what, folks? You just hope that this country can galvanize and come together and look at what is happening and just get some basic grasp of the reality that we are living in. And make some changes and bring back the guy who has the 4-year track record of peace and prosperity, ladies and gentlemen. I think that is the case. And yeah, don't ever forget that. H.L. Mencken's definition of a Puritan. The person who sits around with the haunting feeling that someone out there somewhere might be having a good time, might be enjoying themselves, and which is part of why, you know, laughter, living your best life, leading your best life out there with Colorado snow, high altitude, chopping your own wood, a real wood fire, walking, running, breathing, disconnecting from your screens, all of that, connecting with your fellow humans, with your fellow citizens, with your fellow inmates in the gulag, all of that helps plant you squarely in reality. If there's one thing that the real totalitarians do not want and cannot allow, is to have a population that is tethered to reality, the one that they have not manufactured for them. Does that make sense? They want to manufacture the reality that is in your mind. That is their passion in life, and that is what sustains them. That is what keeps them in power. That's where their profit centers are, yeah? There's trillions at stake. But yet, you know, like Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson was all about planting his flag and staking his claim to the independence of the human mind. The independence. Let your mind be independent. Let it not be controlled and abused and manipulated by the powerful. Let us hope this country still has just enough of that to get us through, ladies and gentlemen. But I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't crack jokes anymore. No more humor. No more humor, Matt. Because that's what authoritarians do. That's what they're telling us. Okay. Let's say hey to Carly in Highlands Ranch. So glad you're here, Miss Carly. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Matt. You have to give Elon credit. That was funny.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, that was funny.
About the Hitler-Stalin, he said.
Yes. They brought the help
now. Yeah.
Anyway. You know, I love winter. I love cold. I love snow. And the reason I bought this house is because it had a wood-burning fireplace. So last week I had to text my neighbors and say, who had changed all theirs to gas, you know, if the power goes out, you can come over because I got a lot of wood.
Good. Carly,
anyway,
I like your style,
yeah,
may I say.
Every house I've had has had wood-burning, except for one.
You know,
I didn't like that.
I share that passion, and my wife and I, we have that category. We want the wood-burning fireplace.
Yep.
And that helps, I guess, like the new houses. You can't get that, right?
No, and that's I had a new house anyway.
They want you to live in a synthetic reality with your synthetic little fire, with your synthetic screens all around you, you know what I mean? What if we just said nah to that?
I'm with that.
Yes.
If it had been up to me, the internet would have never been invented, but that's another story.
How many eons have humans been sitting around the fire, you know, at night, and the fire from the real wood, it sparks the spirit of wonder, spirit of adventure. It brings something primal out of the human soul that we need to experience more, right?
I agree. I totally also agree with you about the flag. I always have flown my flag until December of 2020, and I'm not proud of this country. I was so proud to fly that flag. My dad was in the Air Force. You know, my ex-husband was in the Air Force, and I have such regard for the military, and I just don't have that anymore. And so I have not flown the flag since then, and it bothers me. But I'm not – anyway, to me it would be phony because I just have – I have so many strong feelings about what's happening in this country, and for me to not fly that flag indicates a sense of pride that I don't feel right now.
It has been systematically extinguished from us.
Yeah, really
we, the traditional patriot. I know exactly what you're saying, Carly, and listeners know exactly what you're saying. Is that people like you, me, and the folks that listen, we are like the traditional patriots of this country with...
Traditional patriots, right.
With such an awareness of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the history this country, this nation has been through. And there has been an effort to pour acid on all of that. And the current leadership is so drastically embarrassing for us that...
It is. It's embarrassing.
You can't help but look at
that's,
the flag in
the
a
word.
Little different way, can you? Right? And the way
and
they treat the military.
It's also angrifying. It makes you so angry. But before you have to go, I also want to say, I think about Rush so much. because I was just an avid fan of his. I listened to him for years. And I always forget to mention that to you because then I hear you bring him up. But I can't possibly imagine what he would be thinking now.
Well, he would never let...
Why don't you talk about that on the other side of the show?
Yeah, he would never let Mike Pence grace his airwaves again.
Thank you, Matt.
Limbaugh, see, he'd be laughing. He'd be cracking jokes. Limbaugh was hilarious.
He was.
Absolutely hilarious. And he would have grabbed that article from Politico and had a field day with it, as we just did around here. Carly, you are awesome.
Listen to podcast of Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn at 710KMUS.com.
Well, I don't care if the sun don't shine. I don't care if the bells don't chime. Just as long as you love me.
Little Buck Owens, let's go to the solo play. What do you say?
I don't care if
the Bakersfield sound.
Just as long as you love me.
How about some high harmony now?
Darling, let it rain. Let it snow, let the cold north wind blow, just as long as you love me.
Don Rich with the high harmony there.
South, east or west, you know I will stand the test, just as long as
you love me. Oh, let's have it. Here it comes. Yeah, you cannot even beat that stuff, can you? We're just going to be having some fun, even though the left doesn't want you to be having fun. No jokes for you. These people do crack me up. They crack me up. They are so uptight, so tightly wound. I mean, they don't even realize what they're doing to themselves and what the way they're living their lives and the way their brains have like warped and disfigured themselves because they cannot seem to separate propaganda from reality. It's got to be no fun hanging around at the dinner table of like some leftist family out there digesting their CNN and their MSNBC all day long. Or their Politico, New York Times, go down the list. Well, sitting around thinking how smart they are. Well, we're so smart, we read the New York Times. Look at our intelligence quotient, we read the New York Times. But when it comes down to it, they must try to say, see, they don't like to be mocked. Does that make sense? Trump mocks the media. We mock the media. We mock these super serious, puritanical leftists, humorless leftists. We mock them. We make fun of them. And guess what, folks? That is the way. That is the way to mock these people, make fun of these people. That is how it is done, you know? You don't have to sit there and take them so seriously, you know, oh, gosh, look at what these leftists are. You know, you can just, you know, laugh at them, belittle them, make fun of them because that is what they deserve. But, boy, they get mad. They don't like to be mocked, and they're going to have to say, well, if you're mocking us, it's because you're an autocrat, you're a comedic authoritarian, that's what you are, and it's like you're Stalin for mocking us, we people in the media. Which are all about, you know, fake news around the clock. You got that right. So this is part of the way, and it is part of the way to reconnect with reality. By the way, I was discussing how patriotism has become a little problematic lately in this country. And I mentioned this last night. I did a little discourse on it, and it's something that I have been feeling, and I have been noticing that. Again, our current leadership is so awful and so embarrassing. And our current leadership is trying to throw, you know, their chief political opponent in jail for the rest of his life and running these hoax lawfare scams against him, right? That's not the kind of stuff that's inspiring the patriotism, because I think that's, you know, third world banana republic stuff. That's like the way they say Putin treated Navalny in Russia. And Biden's doing that same kind of stuff here. But I don't know. You look at Monticello, Jefferson's home. You look at Madison's home just down the road from Monticello. Oh, what's the name of Madison's home? Montpelier is what it's called. You go to those, you read information about those places, and gosh, it's all woke nowadays. It's all woke information that comes at you out of Monticello. And some of these places, which are some of the traditional wellsprings of our patriotic feelings towards this country, they have sprayed the acid of woke all over their traditional sources of our patriotism. They've turned the military woke. They've turned West Point woke, right? And I do think they've run an algorithm, almost like an artificial intelligence kind of thing that can kind of like study where traditional patriots get their inspiration or where things that they like. And then the left says, you know, okay, we're going to go pour acid on that. We're going to go pour acid on that. We're going to go humiliate that. Does that make sense? That's what we've been living through. And it's been like in your face constantly, you know, kneel for the pledge or kneel for the national anthem for the sporting events. They you know, they had to get the sport. They had to get all the culture. They had to pull down the statues, right? But, you know, it's been a systematic dismantling of the traditional patriotism of this country. And where, you know, the leftists, you know, they hate America. They hate the founding. they hate just this country, and they hate its history and everything about that. That's why they don't. But it's different when you hear a patriot like Carly or other patriots I was talking to last night talk about, you know, it's different now. It is different now. And it's late stage empire, late stage republic. And that's where you have to have the people get together, pull together to not lose this place. Does that make sense? It's go time on that. We cannot lose this place, ladies and gentlemen. We are in real time losing it. And if we get more of the same, and that's where Elon Musk is having this revelation. Elon Musk, quote from yesterday, there is either a red wave this November or America is doomed. But I will tell you this, that the media is not used to the backlash they are getting, like on this bloodbath hoax. They are not used to that. And they're not used to their usual traditional hoaxes and ways of doing business and ways of brainwashing you not being successful. They are not used to that. They're not used to winning. They're not used to losing the narrative wars. And right now, you get a sense that they're losing some of these narrative wars. They're not winning them. And for a long time, they ran the table with them, at least with enough of the brainwashable population. But I just don't think it's working like it used to. So what stunts are they going to pull? What are they going to come up with? And again, what they want is to try to portray MAGA people as violent and Trump as preaching violence. They want more J6 kind of fake memes out there. And so be on the lookout for that. That's what they're going to be gunning for. And they have different ways to try to set these things up and be the cause and the effect of something, which is when you look back on J6, you can see how that interplay worked, can you not? Anyway, Carly was mentioning a little bit about wood fires just now as we were talking. And again, we need to work harder to connect with reality now, you know, living in the matrix, living in the screen-based, cubicle-bound, propagandized world, that we need to work harder to connect to reality and to air and to nature and the rest of it. And talked in hour one with caller Mike about Teddy Roosevelt. And last night, see, I was reading this book called The Axe Handbook by Buchanan Smith. And bought an axe with my son the other day. We wanted to start chopping our own firewood. And, you know, you get the snow. It's like perfect timing. We got the axe, you know. I guess we already had one, but we got a good one, you know. And so we go out and we chop our own firewood, and we have the wood fire for our 20 inches of snow that we got. Wasn't it glorious? Love the snow. Just love it. But Apparently, you know, Abraham Lincoln is associated with, you know, having wielded the axe as a young man and apparently kind of put down his axe when he became president. But in this axe handbook, there's these great vignettes about Teddy Roosevelt. And apparently when he became vice president under McKinley, he would say this. He said this in a letter to his friend, William Howard Taft. They were friends then. Quote, "I am rather ashamed to say I do nothing but ride and row with Mrs. Roosevelt and walk and play with the children, chop trees in the afternoon, and read books by a wood fire in the evening." Yes, that is free love to live. You know what I mean? That is connecting to the wood fire, not the synthetic fire. That is having broken out of the matrix. And that's Teddy Roosevelt's world, where they didn't really have a matrix as much then. But boy, we have one now. We have our screens. We have our synthetic fires. We have the synthetic reality they're trying to squeeze and force us into. And that's the thing, is when you get squeezed into a false reality, an artificial construct reality where everything you interact with is artificial and constructed by people who want to benefit themselves with their own power, it creates this weird disfigurement in your mind. It creates these psychological disorders. It creates the kind of people who are running this country right now. And it creates the kind of brainwashed masses living in this era of mass delusion that you got to find a way to stay connected and turn off and unplug. And in spite of it all, crack the jokes. Lead your best life. That's right. Laugh, play, get the kids outside playing in the snow. It's cold, maybe, yeah. Wear your gear. But you see where we're headed with this, right? Does it make sense? That we need some antidotes to it all.
Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn on Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. God is not the way of the world. Hold on, hold on. Put your trust in His everlasting word. Hold on, hold on, hold on.
Hold on to God, sings Dwight Yoakam in our sacred song number this evening, which I think translates to, and maybe it's what we've been talking about, in but not of the world, and being wary of the fake Christians out there like Mike Pence. Man, is that guy a phony, a manipulator for his fake Christian politics, I'll tell you. Bothers me. But believe in but not of. Does that come out of Paul? Does that come out of Paul in the New Testament? Can't pull the phrase out, but I think that's where it's from. I think that puts a little summarium on a lot of what we've been talking about this evening right here on Backbone Radio. Thank you to the brilliant texters of the studio and the brilliant callers that have checked in and taken some time. And hope you're enjoying some of that snow that's still there. And went to get a sandwich today with my little 3-year-old son. And boy, howdy, he was marveling that the snow plows had piled these mountains of snow on the edge of the little shopping center parking lot. They're probably 12, 14 feet tall. That's tall stuff. And the kids were out there. They made some brilliant snow forts this weekend. They piled them high, out there having fun. That's what kids need to do. You know, get that screen off. Step outside a little bit, you know. And sometimes they can be a little reluctant at first. They don't want to go outside. But then, you know, they get out there. Then they're having fun. They're bonding with the neighbor kids. They're having a blast. And kids don't play outside like they used to, right? That's a thing. So we can't be losing that either. And by the way, Hannah Arendt, A-R-E-N-D-T, her trilogy on totalitarianism, that's one of the things that I most remember her writing about, is that if you can create the mass man, the mass woman, this undifferentiated mass of people who just sit there chewing on the same information and have access only to the same dreary things, you know, that's the recipe for a totalitarian society. And it seems kind of like, you know, we need to be avoiding that, does it not? And I feel like our trajectory is that. And it is amazing how they accuse the person who is trying to set up the freedom, bring back the freedom, create a new birth of freedom. They call him by that name, the authoritarian name, if he cracks a joke, you know. At any rate, one quick point I wanted to get in is that, and this gets back to some retail politics. And by the way, Chris Cuomo says this.
You know, this guy's going to win, by the way. This guy's going to win. I've never seen people behind someone like this before. I've never been to rallies like that before for anyone. Obama didn't even have rallies like that.
And that's the thing. The spirit is stronger in 2024 than it was in 2020, than it was in 2016. The American people don't want to lose this place. It's going to be wild heading in to 2024, heading into November. It's going to be wild. I mean, we don't want to lose this. Our backs are to the wall. We do not want to lose this country. Makes sense? And a few pieces need to come together here to make this possible. And, you know, thank goodness we've got Trump in there and his skill set, his abilities. But we've got the RNC, and I give some kudos to Randy Corcoran because, you know, he's been helping out with his RNC business. And Lara Trump is in there, and apparently the funds are flowing in. And apparently the moment Lara Trump shows up at the RNC, apparently the email list for the RNC went up by 50 million. Holy cow. So get ready for this. The RNC has been an albatross on America First, an albatross on the Republican voting base for all these years. And now it seems like that's finally shaking loose, one of the key ingredients we're needing heading into 2024. But so Laura Trump, you know, she's setting up an election integrity division for the first time. Let's hear that.
We're incredibly focused on those things at the RNC. Right now, we have the first ever election integrity division at the RNC. That means massive resources going to this one thing. If people out there, Sean, don't feel like their vote counts, they don't trust the system we have, then we are no longer the country we once thought we were. We will have trained poll watchers, poll observers, poll workers, people in tabulation centers all across this country. If you want to volunteer as a poll watcher, poll worker, or a volunteer lawyer, because we want those as well. DonaldJTrump.com, GOP.com. We want you. We can leave nothing to chance. We have to fight fire with dynamite in this election. We must win on November 5th.
Oh, that's the spirit, fighting fire with dynamite. Oh, the media is going to latch onto that. Oh, she's talking about dynamite. Oh, no. At least she didn't crack a joke, though, I'll tell you. But, you know, it's a major shakeup, right? It's a major one, says Fox News.
And, Brett, just moments ago, Fox News was able to confirm that Donald Trump's new leadership team, over at the RNC began cutting dozens of staffers from their positions. It appears a major shakeup now underway at the RNC following Laura Trump's recent ascension to RNC co-chair.
Yeah, and guess who's worried about it? CNN is worried about it. MSNBC is worried about it. The left is worried about this. And let's hear MSNBC tell it.
They want to do it. And so the RNC was pretty top heavy. And this, I think, if I'm the Democrats, I would be concerned, because if the RNC gets their business in order the way the Trump campaign has gotten their business in order, it's really going to make him more of a formidable force.
Yes, indeed. Election integrity. Everyone's worried about that. I'm worried about that. But at least they have a division. The first time ever they got a division on that at the RNC. The money's coming in big with the Trumps on the scene. The Democrats are nervous about it. Mm-hmm. Some pieces are falling into place, ladies and gentlemen. And should we do a little tribute to Eric Carmen, the frontman for the Raspberries? And this guy is a patriot. He's a conservative. And he passed away at the age of 74. A couple of days ago. And where did I hide that? Here's the key Raspberries tune. It was way up on the charts in 1972. Eric term. You know this song. You grew up with it. Since 1972, anyway. Power pop. Gotta love that power pop riff. That's Eric singing, the front man there. And let's pause that one down a little bit. And how about, this is the one that I played this last night, but it's a little hard to listen to. But I've come to like it. Especially since Eric Carmen, and he liked one of my tweets a while back. We tweeted a little bit back and forth a couple years ago. Who loves it? You've got to admit it. Takes courage as a celebrity to come out. To come out and be in favor of MAGA. To be a patriot. And Eric Carmen did that. Wish we would have had him around all the way to 2024. Yeah, there we go. And let's call it there, ladies and gentlemen, as we head on out. Or should we do a little bit of this? Make me lose control? Or is it from the top? We probably won't get to the vocal here. Oh, there it is. I think he's imitating Paul McCartney a little bit, though. But hey, settle, pals. R.I.P. to Eric Carmen, patriot. Let's get together next Sunday. What do you say? Until then.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.